So Krishna was there to instruct Arjuna directly. When we don't have that, how do we know what is it that will please Krishna? Generally, Krishna and Krishna's heart is revealed to us through the devotees, through those who are dear to Him. From them, we come to know Krishna's desires. Vanin janan kathane shravanam kathayam is a verse in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Drishti satam darshane tu bhavat tanunam. The last line he says is that seeing your devotees, O Lord, is like seeing you. So, what it means is that Krishna, he basically, when we have the parampara, how it works is Krishna manifests his will through the parampara. And Krishna accepts, so the will manifests down from Krishna through the parampara. Our service goes up from down to up to Krishna through the parampara. And then Krishna's mercy comes down through the parampara. So first comes his will, then comes our service and reciprocation, and then comes his mercy down. So now, what this means is that we are living in a community of devotees. And we have a spiritual master, we have spiritual guides. And we want to serve in a way that pleases devotees. So if devotees are pleased, then Krishna yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, as we say. So now, in our situation, we may or may not have the direct guidance of the spiritual master on a day-to-day basis. So what we do is, see, ultimately Krishna doesn't want to keep us in indecision or confusion. Krishna wants to guide us. But Krishna also wants to see whether we want guidance. So there are certain situations when we know what we should do and what we should not do. If in those situations we are doing those things, you know, then by that we are showing Krishna that, Krishna, I want to be guided by you. I want to serve. So when we take guidance when it is available, when the things are clear about what we should do, then Krishna will see that and Krishna will guide us when the guidance is not available also. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenama upayantite. I will give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. Now, in practice, usually, even our spiritual master or spiritual guides may not give us direct specific instructions. They may also, bhakti is ultimately a cooperative process. So, cooperative process means the soul serves Krishna through the spiritual master, but the soul also has one's own nature. And spiritually, each soul is an individual. So basically, we need to, from our side, be surrendered and ready to serve whatever, ready to do whatever we are told. At the same time, the spiritual authorities, whoever they are, they should also be observing to find out how we can serve happily. That means it's a cooperation between the individual and the authority. So both of them try to find out, the goal should be, sometimes when a project is in a stage of major expansion or stage of initial beginning, at that time devotees may just be told to do whatever is required. And that's important to do. So that is the surrender to the devotees, do whatever they are told to do. But over a period of time, if devotees are to sustain themselves in the practice of bhakti, then it is best that they be engaged according to their nature, according to what they are inspired to. So both the individual and the guide, both of them need to work cooperatively to discover what service can this devotee do in the best possible way. So we have to know that our spiritual growth is ultimately our responsibility. It is not Krishna's responsibility, it is not our spiritual master's responsibility. It is our responsibility. Our spiritual master is there to assist us, they'll show us the way, they give us the mercy. But it's our responsibility. So that means we have to take stock of ourselves, and while doing various services, we observe ourselves. You know, what is it that I'm good at? What is it that I can do well? What is it that I feel comfortable doing? So guna karma vibhaga shaha, we say. Called guna karma, the varnas are divided. So guna, we can say it refers to internal comfort. I feel comfortable doing something. And karma, we can say it refers to external competence. I'm good at doing it. So what is it that I'm comfortable doing and what is it that I'm competent doing? And when we find that, gradually we gravitate toward that service. It is not that suddenly, this is not my nature, so I'll do it. That is my nature, so I'll do that service. It shouldn't be sudden giving up of services and taking up, but gradually we move toward the services which are according to our nature. Because what happens, if we do it abruptly, we fall for the tricks of the mind. If we ask the mind, what is my nature? What is the service according to my nature? The mind will say, the service you are doing, that is not your nature. So the mind will basically use that as an excuse for laziness. This is not your nature, so don't do this. This is not your nature, so don't do this. This is not your nature, so don't do this. Actually, even to understand our nature, we need to have some level of sattva-guna, some level of the mode of goodness. And that's why initially, we just do whatever we are told to do. By that we become purified. By that purification, we come to the mode of goodness. And when we come to the mode of goodness, we can observe. And if we consider, this is the realm of services for Krishna. And within that, we can find, this is my individuality. This is what I like, this is what my interests are, this is what my ambitions are. We find out what is the intersection point between the two. And we situate ourselves in that. Then, you know, if we, there is something which we feel inspired to do, then we will ourselves do it enthusiastically. No one will have to follow us up. Have you done it? Have you done it? Have you done it? No. We'll feel inspired to do it. And Prabhupada also encouraged this. There's an incident in the seventh volume of the Lilamrita. There's one devotee, Ishan Prabhu. He lives in Alachu. I met him. He told me the same incident again. So he said that he was in London, and London was at that time the European headquarters for our movement. So devotees from France, from Germany, from Netherlands, they'd all come there. And they were all reporting. The preaching here is going like this, preaching here is going like that. And this devotee Ishan Prabhu is saying that, you know, everybody has something to do for Srila Prabhupada, but I don't have anything to do. So he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you know, everyone has something to do, please give me some service. So Prabhupada looked at him and says, what do you want to do for Krishna? He says, no, Prabhupada, whatever you tell, I'll do. No, Prabhupada again asked, what do you want to do for Krishna? He thought, maybe Prabhupada is testing. His idea was that, you know, if you want to do something, maybe it is sense gratification. No, Prabhupada, whatever you tell, I do. Prabhupada said, no, I'm asking you, what do you want to do for Krishna? He says, our philosophy is, find out what you want to do and do it for Krishna. He said, he had never thought like this. He said, Prabhupada, I'll think about it. And then, after a couple of days, he came back. He said, Prabhupada, you know, I think that, you know, we have these mridangas which you get from India. They often break. So I'm thinking I can make them make mridangas here itself with some local material. And I can make them with this material that will not be so easily breakable. So Prabhupada said, you know, your godmothers are very passionate. So they will break mridanga. So make the mridanga so strong that even if they throw it down, it will not break. So Prabhupada basically affirmed what he said. So and then that became his service. He found a way to make mridangas and he said, making him. So the idea is that on one side we are surrendered. What the spiritual master tells us, we do that. That is one aspect of bhakti. But the other aspect of bhakti is also, Prabhupada wanted us to be independently thoughtful. To find out what we can contribute to Krishna. So over a period of time, the individual and the guide, both of them cooperatively come to an understanding of how this devotee can serve sustainably. And then when the devotee finds sustainable service, then they will be inspired to continue even when there are difficulties. Because that is their inspiration. That is what they want to offer to Krishna. So how do we know that we are pleasing Krishna? Now we do what we are told to do. Along with that, we keep exploring. Because it is not that Krishna's pleasure necessitates our displeasure. It is not that Krishna wants us to be miserable and that proves our love for it. No, it is that Krishna wants us to be happy, But a part of a relationship is sometimes we have to do something which you don't like to do also. So we focus on how we can develop a sustainable relationship with Krishna. And if we are sustainably practicing bhakti, we can understand that Krishna is pleased with us. Because if Krishna were not pleased, we would not be able to practice sustainably. Our lower desires will come up, they will interfere, they will drag us away. If we are practicing sustainably, that means Krishna is pleased with us. And if we bring out our talents, use them in His service, then that pleases Him all the more. It is said that what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift to God. So we find out what is Krishna's gift to us, our talents, and use them in His service. Does that answer your question? Thank you.